have an athlete like, say, for instance, LeBron James. LeBron James has just as many Twitter followers as Donald Trump. You know what I mean? So when he says something, people hear it. And I think that's what becomes the threat, because, you know, people who disagree with what the athlete is saying knows the power that their words have. Then they want to try to destroy the image and say, okay, they're not worthy of speaking. You know, so I think that the fact that so many athletes right now are using their voices and using their platforms, you know, in the almost, I wouldn't say an unprecedented way, but a way that we haven't really seen since the 60s. You know what I mean? I mean, I interviewed so many different athletes, from Torrey Smith, who just won the Super Bowl with Philly, and Eric Reed, who was kneeling with Kaepernick, and then, you know, Carmelo Anthony, who, I, of course, is a little bit biased, but I had to interview him, and then, you know, D. Wade, and, you know, Russell Westbrook, and all these different athletes, current athletes, that are using their voice and their platforms. Then I wanted to interview the athletes of the past, like Bill Russell and Kareem, and, you know what I mean, John Carlos, and all the ones who kind of just started the whole thing, and just show the beauty of how important it is when athletes do use their positions and platform.
Let me talk about just a couple of the names, and some of them are the ones you mentioned, but I had a couple of others as well. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Kaepernick. I mean, one way to view Kaepernick's actions and the people who also, you know, chose to kneel or whatever they did to show some solidarity is that people kind of misunderstand. You know, they talk about the action, not why he did it. How do you view, I mean, you've thought about this more than most of us have thought about it. How do you view that whole thing and, you know, what he did, first of all, which has cost him his career, I would say, and how the public did or didn't react to that? How do you view Kaepernick, like the whole Kaepernick thing and how patriotic it is and the value of that?
I mean, it's so interesting. In the book, I discussed this at length with Chris Hayes. We had a long discussion about it, and he was so, you know, excited to really discuss this. But the interesting thing about it is people who almost were purposely misinterpreting what he was saying when he listed the specific reasons of why he was doing what he was doing. You know, he said he was protesting political corruption, systemic racism, police brutality. Those are like the issues that he named specifically. And he said, this is not about the military. You know what I mean? It's not disrespecting the military. He has family in the military. He has respect for the military. This is the reasons why he's doing it. And it's almost like, no matter how many times he said it, or no matter how many times Eric Reed said it, or anybody else, it's like it just, they kind of pushed it to the side and wanted to make it what they wanted to make it so they could have a reason to be able to speak against it or be so strongly against it. But you didn't really hear any conversation about what he specifically said it was about, which was political corruption and police brutality. You know what I mean? That was those were the key reasons, and was the reasons why I wanted to kind of bring it back to the reasons behind all of the protests that you're seeing right now from athletes, whether it's the, you know, LeBron James and the, you know, the entire NBA wearing the I Can't Breathe shirts, or the WNBA having the blackout after Philando Castile and Alton Sterling's murder, were the murder by unarmed black men and women at the hands of the police. So I wanted to bring it back to that, and I wanted to interview some of the people who were the victims, the family of the victims of police violence. So I interviewed Trayvon Martin's brother, you know, Eric Garner's daughter, and Terrence Crutcher's sister, Philando Castile's sister, you know what I mean, and had them speak specifically of what it meant when athletes spoke out on their behalf. And so, you know, it's just kind of, I wanted to bring it back to the original cause. I wasn't going to get into a debate about the military and the, you know, the nationalism of you know, that wasn't even the issue.
Right.
You know, so I wanted to, you know, kind of bring it back to what the issue actually was.
Yeah, I mean, there's also a reading, which I'd say, I mean, there's, in a way, there's no more patriotic thing to do than to protest. Isn't that what our nation kind of was?
I mean, there's so many different veterans that I've spoken with, and they said, well, we actually fought so that you have the right to kneel or stand or do what you want to do. It's not like a dictatorship. And that's the part that kind of got lost in that as well. But then it also moved away from the conversation, away from what it was supposed to be about.
Some of the other people in the book, and you mentioned him, plus it's the Olympics are going on now, so it's a little bit apropos, but what was it like to talk with John Carlos, who, you know, whose actions are iconic?
Oh, it was great. I mean, I actually grew up with, and I always tell him, I grew up with a poster of you on my wall because I had so much respect for you. You know what I mean? And what he did on that stage with him and, you know, Tommy Smith and Peter Norman did on that actual stage in front of the entire world, and what happened after it, and the way that they stood strong and what they believed in is just something that's just really admirable to me. And it was great really talking to him, because there's a different thing going on with athletes, because before, and this is the part that's really interesting, the same people who were always criticizing the athletes of today for not being like Muhammad Ali and John Carlos and the athletes of the 60s, you know, those are the same people who started criticizing athletes when they did start speaking out. It's almost like the same exact, like if they played back the different reels for a few years ago, you know what I mean, that they're actually criticizing them for not, you know, taking on different causes and being involved in their communities and things of that nature. And John Carlos really spoke to that a lot in the interview that we did in the book. And I was great. It was great to hear him say that, because, you know, that's usually, you know, that people want the athletes of the past to kind of criticize the current athletes. That's kind of what happens a lot. But
yeah.
I was glad to hear him say that.
Another person that I just found fascinating, but not only because of what she is, but who she is connected to, is Leila Ali. What did you get from her? What is she like? You know, she is pretty public in like a lot of venues. I actually even covered a fight she did at Turning Stone Casino near here,
right,
she fought Jackie Frazier. You know, the Frazier Ali thing. Anyway, what was it like to talk to her? What is she like? Is there any, you know, relations to her father and her father's work in her?
I think she was, it was amazing, first of all, to be able to interview her. And she really wanted to empower young women. And, you know, sometimes women get left out in this conversation, which is why I was glad I was able to interview Swin Cash and Tamika Catchings and Shamika Holzclaw to really talk about how they are inspiring young women to stand up for what they believe in. We had a long interview with Soledad O'Brien in the book, and we were talking about, it was kind of like right before everything started happening, but we were talking about the athletes that stood up and pointed out the sexual harassment and the things of that nature that was going on. And it was, you know, it's like shortly after we had that conversation, it was like all this stuff just started coming out with the Me Too and everything like that. But really, you know, empowering, especially for young women, Leila Ali is so important and so special, and her words are so powerful. And that was really what her interview was really all about. And then another thing that's really interesting that she always says is how people love to kind of worship and give reverence to her father now. You know what I mean? They build statues and museums and everything like that with her father now. But in the 60s, in his heyday, you know, mainstream America didn't embrace Muhammad Ali and the fact that he was standing up for what he believes in then. You know what I mean? He was kind of hated. But then now it's a little bit different kind of looking back. And I honestly think that when we look back, like, say, 50 years from now, you're going to see Colin Kaepernick being spoken of in the same kind of light as that, you know, so much as Muhammad Ali, as far as what he did. You're going to see mainstream America pretty much just have a different level of respect for him. It's going to be interesting to see.